Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, joined by Cody Thompson, my co-host. How's life treating you today, Cody?
Grand.
It is grand. That's a good word, new word. Tracy, how are you doing today?
I'm going to go with great today.
Great and grand. All right, Matt, thumbs up, thumbs down. You doing all right? Thumbs up. I've got Karen Amador not on mic. She's helping me in case I forget something today, sitting with me in studio. Hey, Cody, what's our topic today?
The topic is, we call it the patron saint of the ignorant.
All right. I can't wait to talk about this. But I think you're supposed to do an announcement before we get started. Am I right?
That's right. We mentioned it once before on the podcast, but we just want to invite all of the listeners to At the Table and the Working Genius podcast to our Five Dysfunctions 20-year event that's happening live June 22nd. You can go directly to our website. There's a pop-up on there, tablegroup.com or tablegroup.com/5D. And it's a $25 event. It's going to be really good sort of reflection over the last 20 years of teamwork. We're going to have John Gordon there asking you some questions. So a lot of goodness, only $25 to register. We'd love to see you guys there.
And there's been so many things that's happened over the last 20 years, 25 of having the company, but 20 with the book being out, that we've learned. And I'm really excited to share that with people and kind of look back. Yep. Okay. The patron saint of the ignorant. This comes from the fact that for years I've been saying, you know, if I were ever a saint, you know, and there's patron saints, I think I would be the patron saint of the ignorant, because I really empathize with people that don't know things, because I feel like I'm often so ignorant. Ignorant is not stupid. It's just they don't know. So here's what we're going to talk about today. It comes from a conversation I had two nights ago with a dear friend of mine. His name is Tim Gray. And Tim is the leader, a really great guy, who runs this theological organization called the Augustine Institute. Fabulous organization. And he said something to me that rocked my world. And it was so simple. He said, Pat, what is assumed is often what is important. What is assumed is what is important. And when he explained what he meant, and which we're going to talk about today, I immediately said, oh my gosh, I have to do a podcast about this. And I told everybody I talked to after that about it, is that when we assume that people know things, and this happens in every aspect of life, from leadership to running a business to family, everything, we miss the richest things that we need to discuss. The very most, the areas where we can grow and add value are usually found in those places where we think everybody understands something, and yet it's missing, and it's necessary, and it's critical to success. And so we're going to jump in right now, but before we do that, I'm just going to give an example. Because when Tim said this, I immediately thought, and this is where the patron saint of the ignorant comes in, throughout the table group's history, I always feel like I'm the one who in a meeting, this is true in my career, would always say, I don't get it. Do people really understand that? And people would look at me and go, of course they understand it. And then like half the room would go, I don't understand it. I don't understand it either. And so when we started our company, and even to this day, Cody, you and I were in a room with 3 weeks ago with a really, really sophisticated executive team. And what we are constantly doing is checking in with them around the things that we assume they already know or already do. And 9 times out of 10, they're like, oh, I'm glad you brought that up, because I guess we're not very good at that. We need to work on that. Mm. And so that's what this is about, is what are we assuming and what richness, what low-hanging fruit is lying in that area? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love this topic. And in fact, it was probably 2 weeks ago I shared this with you, that I was talking with someone and explaining sort of the four disciplines of organizational health and what we do. And they were sort of, after I explained it, they were interacting with what I had just told them. And they said what they thought would be offensive. They said, this seems really simple. And we wear that as a badge of honor, you know, that we simplify things down. And so I do think there's this idea that we assume what another person knows. And you could even put it a different way, like we overestimate each other and ourselves included about what we know and what we engage with and how the assumptions that we make. And then what it does is it sort of compounds on itself. Like you assume that I must know that. So and if I don't know it, I have to pretend to know it and assume that everybody else in the room knows it. So it's a really interesting dynamic. But when you just go there, like you said, oftentimes when you go down to where we're assuming things, oftentimes those are the richest conversations.
Yeah. You know, it happens like when we go sit down with an executive team, and the assumption is they know that they have to trust each other in order to have good conversations, make strategic decisions. Everybody mm-hmm. assumes that everybody gets that. And we'll just say to them, okay, let's check in on this. Are you vulnerable with each other? Do you admit when you're wrong? Do you guys trust each other? Are you willing to say things that might sound dangerous, but you know that? And they're like, yeah, no, we don't do that. And we're like, well, you realize you're never going to make a good strategic decision around a product or a process or a strategy or anything else if you don't have that, because you want it. And they're like, yeah, I guess we just assumed we had that. But now that you're talking about that, that's probably what's missing. And then we help them on that. And then mm-hmm. suddenly they're light years ahead of where they were. I know when I worked at a management consulting firm when I first started, that was all focused on, and they were really bright people from all the best schools. And they just, I think they thought my questions were stupid. And I realize now that as a result of that, we just leaped over those and went into strategy and went into other things. And oftentimes it didn't work. And I would say, I don't think they like each other. Mm-hmm. And they go, we didn't even think to ask that question.
So Pat, why do we overcomplicate this?
Yeah. Why don't we like to go to the simple things that we assume yeah. and jump to the others? It's a great question. I think part of it is just good old fashioned. Sometimes it is literally just blind to it. We're just mm-hmm. like, I can't believe that simple thing isn't already there. I think we're also proud. We like to talk about things that are complex, that mm-hmm. are impressive. You know, I remember, Tracy, you remember this when we first wrote our first book. And Cody, people come up to me all the time and they say, I could have written your book. Now that I read your book, I could have written that. But I just didn't realize that most people aren't clear on this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's not offensive to me at all. I think that I'm, like I said, the patron saint of the ignorant. It's like, yeah, I just wondered if people needed to be reminded, you mm-hmm. know? And so every time we sat down to write a book, I would be like, somebody must have written this book before, but we're going to put it out there anyway. And every single book we published, I thought somebody would be like, well, you know, there's another book that already did this. And yet somehow people are like, thank you for reminding me of that. And when a Fortune 500 CEO says, thank you for reminding me that if I'm not vulnerable with my team, that they're never going to engage in conflict. And as a result of that, we're never going to make decisions that we buy into. And I'm like, so that is helpful to you? And he's like, oh yeah. Or she's like, yeah, mm-hmm. that's huge. And yeah. again, it was like, we assume people know these things. And yet when we point them out, and yeah, 1 out of 10 times they're like, hey, no duh, dude, we already know that. And it's like, that's okay. Because the other 9 times people are like, oh, thank you for not assuming that we knew that.
Mm-hmm. But it also, even in those instances where there are people who already know that, we say, and this is at the beginning of your book, but people need to be reminded more than they need to be instructed. And I think yeah. that the idea, there's something about us that, like you said, Pat, we want to feel, maybe it's pride or whatever it is, that we are more complex than we are, or more sophisticated, or we get wrapped up in not wanting to talk about simple things. And I think there's also this assumption that, well, if it's simple, it's easy, and we need mm-hmm. to be doing difficult things. And the truth yes. is most of the things that we talk about are really, really simple and very, very difficult to do right. repeatedly and do well.
Absolutely. And yet, imagine if 9 times you reminded somebody of something simple like that, Cody, like reminding people, and the one time you did it and they were like, they didn't need it, and they were like, hey, dude, you know, I'm not an idiot.
Right.
That might scare us away from doing it the other 9. Mm-hmm. Because we have this fear of being embarrassed or feeling in fear, like, oh, sorry for saying that. I do this with my wife all the time. I introduce people because I'm always like, oh, I assume people don't know each other. And sometimes I'll introduce people and they're like, yeah, you dummy, we're the ones who introduced you to, you know, and I'm like, oh gosh, you're right. But for every time I get embarrassed when I do that, the other 9 is worth it. But we have to be okay with looking like an idiot from time to time.
This is actually something I love about working with you just personally, is that like when we do, like we'll be redesigning the website, for example, or doing something technological, which you and I have very little expertise in at all. Yeah. But when you call yourself the patron saint of the ignorant, you really, if something doesn't make sense to you, if it means it's not simple enough. And so even as much as like how you navigate a website, you earnestly are trying to figure out like, this doesn't make sense to me. And oftentimes you're at the risk of sounding like, we assume everyone in the room is like, well, I guess you're the only one that it doesn't make sense to. But as you probe and you go deeper on like, wait, I don't get it. Why did you call it this? Or why does that button lead here? eventually we get to a simpler, easier version. And that and you've done that not on just our website, but in the tools and resources and the models that you've built. I think that they're simple. In fact, like I said, we wear that as a badge of honor. We just recently got a podcast review that's the title is Shockingly Ignorant Hosts. And I kind of agree with that guy, you know, in some ways. There's a lot that we don't know, but we still survive, you know.
We put it out there and we are going to seem shockingly ignorant sometimes. And what's great is that Matt, our engineer, is my son. So when I do this, he's like, Dad, you're an idiot. And I'm like, hey, Matt, remember, I work with you. If Karen did that or Tracy or Cody, you probably wouldn't think they're an idiot, but since I'm your dad. But yeah, I'm going to come across as an idiot from time to time. And that's necessary in order to discover things. So yesterday, you guys, I was in a meeting with an organization I'm involved in, a wonderful organization. And we were in the meeting and somebody said, okay, like Joe Smith, this guy, we got to have him involved in this one presentation we're doing. Joe is critical. And everybody's nodding their heads. Joe Smith. I mean, everybody's, you know, Joe Smith is the guy. And we're all nodding our heads. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Joe, and I finally said, hey, I don't know who Joe Smith is. Do you guys know who Joe Smith is? Every person at the table didn't know who he was. Somebody else had told him how critical he was. And we were all nodding our heads. And I was honestly prepared for every person at that table to say, of course we know who Joe Smith is. I can't believe you don't know him. And so it was just one of those weird moments where it's like we were all assuming nobody was really bought into what Joe Smith was going to do for us because nobody knew who he was, but we assumed everybody else did. So there we went. So we took our time, got to know who he was and figured out what we needed to do with him. But it's just so crazy.
So Pat, tell me what happens if we skip over what's assumed?
Oh, well, so here, this is great. So I do a lot of work with churches, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll be talking to a priest or I'll be consulting to a parish, right? Like a pastor and his team. And I'll say, okay. And they'll be like, okay, we need to teach people how to do this or this. We need to evangelize them or disciple them or something. And they're talking about theology and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've learned to do recently is I would ask them the question, hey, do you guys ever talk to each other about this? Do you guys ever talk mm-hmm. about your faith? And I was assuming that, okay, they do it all the time. And the people on the team and even the priest would go, no, we really don't. We're really busy working on our individual stuff. So you guys never pray together? And have you ever, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus. Do you ever even use the word Jesus in conversation with each other? Like, actually, we don't. And the assumption is that we're already practicing this and everybody in the church already knows this. And we jump to the most interesting theological thing and people are listening to it going, yeah, I don't even know what to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
And so Tim Gray, the guy talking to me is a doctorate in theology. And he goes, Pat, we assume everybody knows the basics of faith. And then when we do that, we talk to them about things that they're never going to follow up on because they think I'm just so far behind or so ignorant that this isn't for me.
Yeah so there's all this low hanging fruit that we're just climbing right by. We're leaving all that goodness there.
Yeah. And in fact, if you don't get rid of the low-hanging fruit, you can't even climb up the tree to get to the stuff at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Yet everybody's enamored with the stuff at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We had talked about before, Pat, like if we started another consulting firm, we could name it low-hanging fruit because it is almost exactly those things that those little apples you can pick just by standing there, not the complicated ones at the top that we try to help teams with. And I do, you know, I think it goes back to something you said earlier when you said the fear of being embarrassed, like in a room that we kind of collectively don't want to be the person that doesn't know. And I remember this story. I know we tell a lot of stories about our company, but I remember when the first offsite I was at with the table group. So 8 years ago, I get hired. You guys take me to an offsite about a month later, and there were 9 people in the offsite around the table. And you guys had made up a fake word and you were using it in sentences with each other. And the whole point was to see if I was willing to look like an idiot and say, I don't know what that word is. Can someone, you keep using this word. Luckily, one other person wasn't in on the joke and she actually asked the question before I got a chance to. But I love that because it sort of onboarded me in a way that was like, hey, you're going to be in a room, maybe not even just with our team, but with other teams and other leaders. And you're going to have to be the one that says, hey, I don't know what that means. And this happens it happened, like when we're in rooms with tech companies, Pat, and they're using four acronyms in a row, they're like, oh, the EPG, OKR, and we're like, we assume they all speak this language, and we'll say, well, what is that? And at least one other person in the room always says, oh, I didn't know that either. Thank you for asking that question. But we just skip right by that.
Yeah, what's the one that everybody uses? The KPR, is that what it is? Key
performance, KPI.
KPI. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know, and there's people listening to this going, I can't believe you didn't remember that. But I'm like, wait, is a KPI, is that like one of your critical goals? And they're like, yeah, it's a key performance. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, thanks. I mean, it could be something else. And if I don't know for sure, I need to know. You know, what's so interesting about this, I think about the people. It's so great to think about people that listen to this podcast, and it always amazes me. And so I have a friend who works in transportation. I have a woman who works in the legal team at a company, and I have a guy who sells technology, gaming technology, and like Tim Gray and these priests and other people that we talk to that run their own stores. And I think about every one of them and every one of their businesses or their endeavors, there are assumptions that they're going to have to go back and question. Mm-hmm. You know, like the lawyers, like, I wonder if the employees at our company understand what a legal risk would be to do this. Because mm-hmm. you're working with somebody and you're like, so you understand. And then at some point they go, you know, I never heard that before. And you're like, oh, I can't believe it. And that's where the goodness is. It's like, do you understand the importance of the fundamentals of our business? And you have to take the risk of them looking at you like you have a third eye and saying, what do you think, I'm a cretin? And it's like, no, but about 8 out of 10 times we're cretins, so I just want to make sure. And it comes down to even in life, when we're like, I'm trying to help my wife, like she's in a funk or she's going through a transition because the kids are, she's about to be an empty nester, and I'm talking to her about what she should do. And it's like, you know, you might want to remind her that you love her and that you care about her and that she's going to be fine. And you do that, and they're just like, amazing. Oh, that's so great to hear. It's like, but it should be obvious.
Yeah.
What's assumed is so often what's important.
The first book that you wrote when I was on your staff, or the first book process that I got to be a part of, was The Ideal Team Player. And I remember so vividly the conversations we had in the office about that concept, because you do this almost every time you go up for a speech. You say, hey, what I'm about to tell you is going to sound so simple that you're going to be like, why did you come here to even tell us this? But you wrote the book, The Ideal Team Player, that has three really fundamental, very simple ideas in it, which is people need to be humble, not arrogant. They need to be hungry and work hard, and they need to be emotionally intelligent, smart, and know how their words and actions, you know, affect other people on the team. And I remember you almost said you didn't want to write the book because you were worried people would pick it up and say, oh no, this is too obvious. And it was one of the best. That book has had more impact on the hiring and development of individual contributors in organizations than almost any other of your books. And so it's just another reminder that there's so much low-hanging fruit. There's so much value in the simplicity, the things that we all assume. And to think that you might have not written that because you thought, oh boy, this might be too simple. And on the flip side, how many people that impacted because it's out there in a very clear, concise, and simple way.
You know what's funny that you said that, Cody? Because I was at a Dave Ramsey event. Dave has an organization that he does Entree Leadership. He wrote a book. It's fantastic. It's for entrepreneurs. And so I was speaking at that event last week, and more people came up to me to tell me about the book you just mentioned, which I just
Ideal
had a brain
player.
Ideal Team Player. Yeah, I just brain farted right in there. So more people came up to me to tell me about how that book has changed their lives than even the five dysfunctions. And guess what, you guys? Did you see the email that we just got from Danny in our office? The Ideal Team Player sold more than the five dysfunctions this week.
I know, it's so crazy.
It's far simpler than the five dysfunctions. And I was like, oh gosh, this can't really be that helpful. And so I want to give everybody out there listening a very practical tool when you have to do this. Be the person to question the assumptions and go back and add that value by reminding people what you're assuming they know. And that is anticipate their objections. Just say, hey, I want to do something with you, and I promise I don't want to insult your intelligence. And I'm not saying this because, and I could be wrong, and I might be telling you something that's so obvious, and if I am, my apologies, but are you aware of this and this and this and this? And I promise you, more times than not, they're going to go, I didn't know three of those things.
Yeah.
Or I had completely forgotten that and forgot to build that into this project or this program. So many times when we don't assume that the basics are clear, we add more value than if we jump to the top of the tree and try to do something really, really sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we're at like 20 minutes here. I think this is enough. I think people can run with this. The assumptions, what is assumed is so often what is most important. So in every interaction in your family, in your business, in your leadership, in your strategy, ask yourself this: what are we assuming that we and others know? And let's go question those things and see the real, not only is it low-hanging fruit, it's usually the sweetest fruit too. Mm-hmm. So that's it for today. All right.
Love it.
Thanks for joining us. I mean, the more people I meet who listen to this every time, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just want to make every one of these episodes great. Tracy and Cody, thank you. Matt, Karen, I appreciate it. We'll see everybody, or you'll hear from us next time on At the Table. God bless.